Today on More to Life, reclaiming joy. What's stealing your joy? We want to help you find grace-filled ways to lead a happier life. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our home.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with it.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled Reclaiming Joy. We want you to call up and share what's stealing your joy. It seems like there is no end to the list of possible suspects always trying to undermine our happiness and steal our joy. We want to help you find grace-filled ways to lead a happier, more joyful life. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
And, you know, this kind of thing can come in big things, and it can come in those little nattering things that just steal our joy bit by bit by bit. You know, we can be having a wonderful weekend, and we want to relax, and everything's great, and then somebody comes out with an attitude or throws a monkey wrench into your plans. And then that joy level seems to diminish because nobody seems to be on the same page with us, and we can't ever seem to find rest or peace. Or we've had a great weekend, and now it's time to go back to life, and we're getting that anxiety feeling, that gnawing sense of what if or what's going to happen this week. Those are kind of the little things that can tag along with us and really steal that sense of joy. But then, of course, there are much bigger things in life as well. When we're really dealing with hard times, difficulties for people we love or for ourselves, and it just seems to steal our sense of where God is, our connection where we feel really in sync with His Holy Spirit, and we feel out of sync with the people we care about or the people who are supposed to be caring about us. There's also a myriad of other things. So if you're feeling like, I'm not quite sure how to reconnect with joy, but I sure would like to, well, let's talk about your situation today and help you get there. Give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Whether you are dealing with a larger issue in your personal or marriage or family life, your work life, that's stealing your joy and making it hard for you to be the hopeful, happy person you'd like to be, or you're struggling with what I like to call being pecked to death by chickens.
Mm.
You know, where there's not any one thing that's really all that bad, but it's just like a whole bunch of little things that just are annoying enough to make you feel frustrated, stuck.
Drained.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, and when that happens to me, I end up kind of feeling a little guilty about it, too, because I realize that I have so much to be joyful and grateful for. But then, you know, all these little niggling things just get under my skin and make me struggle to be in that joyful place. Whether it's a big issue or those multiple small things, we want to help you be a more joy-filled person. Tell us, are you dealing with a situation that's stealing your joy? Or maybe there's a person in your life who makes it hard to be joyful when you're around them. Or maybe you'd like to help someone you care about be a little more joyful, but you're not sure where to start. However you'd like to see joy increase in your life, give us a call. Let's help you find ways to lead a more joy-filled life today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering, well, what is this theology of the body and how could it possibly help give me any kind of practical insights on being a more joyful person? Well, I'm glad you raised the issue. See, St. John Paul, when he was Pope, gave a series of reflections over the course of about 5 years where he looked at how we could take everything that God's given us, Scripture, creation, salvation, history, all of it, and discern universal principles about God's plan for human flourishing and happy, healthy, holy relationships.
And when we look at the theology of the body, we see that one of the most powerful insights St. John Paul II gives us in it is that God created us for joy. I don't mean the fleeting feeling of happiness we get when things are going our way. Happiness, unfortunately, comes and goes. It depends on whether life feels comfortable, pleasant, or free from conflict. But joy, on the other hand, is deeper. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a state of being that comes from living a meaningful, intimate, and virtuous life. Meaningfulness is what John Paul II called self-giving, the ability to use our gifts, talents, even our struggles, to make a positive difference in our circumstances and in the lives of those around us. Joy also flows from intimacy, which is, as the theology of the body describes it, is building communities of love. When we invest in authentic, caring relationship with our spouse, children, friends, even our larger community, we experience a sense of belonging that grounds us no matter what challenges come our way.
So that's meaningfulness and intimacy, but what about virtue? Well, joy grows through virtue as well, and the theology of the body reminds us that we need to spend our lives growing into the people that God created us to be. Practicing virtue means cooperating with God's grace to use everything that happens to us to become stronger, healthier, holier people. And when we pursue choices that build greater meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in our lives, in big things and small things, we cultivate joy, that kind of peace and contentment that endures even in hard times. Because where I've been, where I am, and where I'm going all make sense in God's plan. You know, there are some simple steps you can take today to increase joy. Number one, ask yourself, how can I use my gifts to make a difference right now, a positive difference in the lives of those around me, in the circumstances I'm facing? Second, how can I invest more intentionally in my relationships to make them a little healthier, stronger, or deeper? And finally, how can I cooperate with grace to grow through whatever challenges I'm facing instead of just seeing them as problems to be borne? You know, living this way won't always make us happy, but it will lead us to a more joy-filled life. And who doesn't want more of that? Well, we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. We want to help you reclaim joy. Whether you are dealing with a large problem that's stealing your joy, or just a whole bunch of little things that are making it hard to be joyful, or for that matter, if there's somebody you care about who you'd like to support in being a more joyful person, let us help. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. With that, let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you seeking to be more joy-filled people. We know that you would like us to rejoice in all things, as your servant St. Paul reminded us, and yet we find it difficult to hold on to that sense of joy, especially when we're going through difficult times or dealing with difficult people. So often we let the problems of everyday life and our relationships separate us from you, your grace, from the joy that you want to give us. And so, Lord, we bring all those things to you right now. And we ask you to give us the grace that we need to respond to those people and problems in ways that lead us to greater meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in our lives, and therefore the joy that comes from those things. Help us to find ways to use our gifts, our talents, even our struggles, to make a positive difference in the lives of those around us and the circumstances we find ourselves in. Help us to know how to take our relationships to a deeper and stronger and healthier place. And help us to respond to everything that happens to us with a spirit that says, how can I use this to become more of the person God created me to be? Help us to remember that in all things, by practicing greater meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, we can cultivate the joy that you call all of us to live in. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Reclaiming Joy. Is there something that's stealing your joy? Whether it's a big problem that you're facing or a bunch of little things that are getting on your nerves, a person who's difficult to be joyful around, or something else that is stopping you from being the joyful person that you'd like to be? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Brittany, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kansas.
Brittany, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Okay, so it is just a bunch of little things with me. I've got my Bible in front of me. I like to read, like, King James Version. I like to read, like, all different versions of the Bible. So we're, I got let go from my job, which is totally understandable. I get it. Like, I just feel like maybe the integrity that I had was not up to par with where they're at. So we're like, my shower keeps clogging. I'm trying to apply for job state, and it just seems like everything that I'm trying to do is just not working for me. So I didn't know if there was, like, what you could talk to me about, or maybe certain passages I could highlight in my Bible to where I could just, like, read about and, like, you know, feel better about just little things going wrong, I guess.
Yeah, so, you know, the thing that it's important to keep in mind is that, you know, upsetting things are upsetting, disappointing things are disappointing, frustrating things are frustrating. So it's okay for you to feel those things that you know, that you're dealing with. But it's really a question of how do we respond to those things in a way that allows us to connect with God's grace and experience the joy even in those moments. And let's go back to what we were saying joy actually is. You know, happiness is the state that happens when everything's going okay. You know, when we're free from conflict and we're free from problems and we're doing something enjoyable. That's when we'll feel happy. But joy is that bigger, deeper sense, that sense of rightness, that sense of calm, that sense of hopefulness, that where I can look at my life and I can say, you know what? I know where I've been, I know where I am, and I know where I'm going because it's all part of God's plan. And I really see that playing out. Now, that's why this idea of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue is so important in cultivating joy, especially in the circumstances that you just described, okay? So, let's say with the job loss, you know, you're looking at that and you're saying, you know what, I understand why I was let go, because I made some mistakes or I made some choices that didn't live up to the integrity that they wanted to see in me. So, to confront that with a spirit of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue is to say, you know, I'm not going to beat myself up for this, but what I am going to do is I'm going to learn those lessons. I'm going to ask myself, what do I need to do to make sure that I don't repeat those mistakes, that I develop those strengths that would allow me to avoid similar problems in the future, and to see that as an opportunity to grow in some way. When those little things, like, you know, your shower getting clogged or all those other things happening, you're going to respond to that in a meaningful, intimate, and virtuous way. Meaningfulness by asking yourself, okay, well, how can I, instead of sitting around and moping about this, how can I use the gifts that God has given me to address the problem that's in front of me in a positive way? You know, instead of just avoiding it and saying, I'm going to turn on the tube right now, I'm going to surf the internet and doom scroll because I don't want to deal with this stuff. You know, how can I really apply myself to handling the problems and doing the next thing that's in front of me? Yeah, that's the meaningfulness piece. Intimacy refers to how can I make sure I'm reaching out to the people around me to get the support, the prayer support, the emotional support, the help that I need. You know, if I can't fix the shower myself, who can I call to come over? Because too often we tend to isolate ourselves in the face of problems and say, well, I don't want to be a burden to anybody else, or I just want to handle it myself. And we cut ourselves off from the support that God wants to give us. And that's how Satan kind of culls us from the herd and then fills our mind with all kinds of negative and destructive thoughts that cause us to feel oppressed and keep us from moving forward in God's plan. And then finally, virtue. Again, instead of saying, woe is me that these things are happening to me, asking how can I respond to these challenges in a way that help me become a stronger, healthier, godlier person. Now, those things, those three things aren't easy, right? And it's not going to flick a switch that suddenly makes you happy that all these things have happened to you. But if you're applying yourself to these challenges in a way that leads to greater meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, and you're praying about that and asking that, you're going to start to feel like this all makes sense. I know where I am, and I know where I'm going because I'm responding to these challenges in a way that allows God to come alive inside of me and to give me greater clarity about where he wants me to go from now on.
And when you take this perspective to responding to these challenges or any challenges in life this way, remember you don't have to be the one to think of how you should do these things. You know, you need to be taking it to prayer and just asking the Holy Spirit to enlighten your mind and your heart on how he wants you to respond in these situations. Sometimes that will come through a particular Bible verse. Sometimes God will just give us that sense of knowing. Sometimes we'll leave it at his feet and he'll allow it to evolve over our day or our week or some time as it passes, as long as we keep bringing it back to him. Every time we hit these frustrations, we are getting an invitation to overcome our fear, overcome all the thoughts that Satan wants us to be thinking about how God has left us and we're never going to make it and all these things, and bring it to God and say, Lord, I'm tiny. I'm your child. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to pursue meaningfulness, intimacy, or right virtue in any of this. Please come into my heart and mind. Help me to know what you want me to do in this situation.
Teach me to respond to this challenge in a way that will really glorify you and help me be the person you're calling me to be. You know, and you asked for a verse. I'm going to give you a Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with the fullness of joy in your presence and with eternal pleasures at your right hand. It's a reminder that God wants to lead us down the path that will lead to a more meaningful, intimate, and virtuous life. And
both
help
here
us to experience
and in eternity.
Right.
You know, that's what he's really talking about here, is that when we live this way, living closer and closer to him, taking each tiny baby step with him, it's leading not to just feeling better, but it's leading to eternal joy in eternal life with him.
So hold on to that verse, Psalm 16:11, and remember to keep praying, to ask God, how can I respond to these things in ways that increase my experience of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, instead of that sense of powerlessness, isolation, and self-pity that often come with problems and that the enemy uses to then pull us away from God's grace. Brittany, thank you so much for your call. If there's more we can do to support you through any of these things, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or through CatholicCounselors.com. And listeners, we're taking your calls right now about reclaiming joy. Would you like to be a more joy-filled person? Well, let's face it, who wouldn't, right? But it's not easy. And maybe you're dealing with a situation that's stealing your joy. Or there's a person in your life who's hard to be joyful around. Maybe there's somebody you care about who you'd like to help be more joyful, but you're not sure where to start. However you are feeling the joy leaking from your life, give us a call. Let us help you find grace-filled ways to lead a more joy-filled life. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute, who'll be sharing some insights on joy. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues right after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? there's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more. The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Reclaiming Joy. Is there something or someone stealing your joy? We want to help you find grace-filled ways to lead a more joyful life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute. Bill, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning to you both. Happy September 2nd.
Thank you. And why don't you tell our listeners what the significance of that date is?
That was a nice lead-in, right? Today is the anniversary of one of my favorite people and favorite authors, J.R.R. Tolkien. The anniversary of Tolkien's death is today. And given your topic of joy, I wanted to reference him and one of his characters from The Lord of the Rings. Now, if there's newbies out there listening to the show and you've never read it, we forgive you. Confessions are available on Saturdays between 3:30 and 4:30. But during this epic struggle between good and evil and this epic sprawling novel by Tolkien, there's a figure that pops in literally singing and just exuding so much joy. His name is Tom Bombadil. Those who do know the story have probably already guessed who was coming. Nice touch.
Our producer's nerding out right now. Let's excuse him. But please, go on.
Yeah. Eric is. So Tom Bombadil, for whatever reason, he has not been affected by the darkness of the ring, the shadow, Sauron, all the evil forces. And readers are just questioning, who is this figure? In a letter to one of his fellow Inklings, a fellow literary devotee, Tolkien wrote Neville Coghill in 1954. He said, Bombadil doesn't want to make, alter, devise, or control anything. Tom Bombadil just wants to observe and take joy in contemplating the things that are not himself. It's a spirit of wonder. So, that's Tolkien's thoughts on Tom Bombadil. I find it so refreshing because here's a figure who lets things roll. He sees that there's a big picture outside time and space. There's an author of this great story that we're all in. And I feel like that is a streamline for all of us to joy, is to put our heads above the fray for a little bit and realize God is truly in charge.
And, you know, as I'm listening to you, I don't think you're saying that, you know, that we're called to not do anything, but really to be able to step back from the doing and see God's plan at work. As we were saying earlier, you know, that when we're pursuing meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in our lives, we're able to see where we've been, where we are, and where we're going, and we can see how that makes sense in God's plan. And it seems to me that that's really what you're talking about when you're referencing this character from Lord of the Rings. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. In Tolkien's letter, again, he says this figure, who he says he sort of just discovered, he observes and takes joy in contemplation, right? Just nothing has to exist. Sometimes we have this Messiah complex, like we have to fix everything, and it really drains us of joy. But everything is gift. Life is a gift. Sunlight, wind, sun starts on a stream, food and drink, everything is gift, and entering into the fact that nothing has to exist, but it all flows from God's generosity, it really does give you that perspective of like, I can abide in this, I can rest in this, and it's going to be okay in the end.
Well, I think when you say this, it also sort of, when we take that attitude, it also reminds us that if everything is a gift from God, when sin, the fall, human failings, weakness, whatever those things are that take us off that trajectory, we can go to God and say, what do you want me to do in this moment, this day, this week, in my experience, to help set it to rights a little bit in the corner of the world you've given me? And then you're cooperating with God. Then you're working with this gift giver, this mighty God who has created all these things that he gives us as gift. And we know our purpose, to help set it back to rights when the fall and everything that goes with it has knocked it off kilter.
Yeah, exactly. Let's quote John Paul II on that point, Lisa. He said once that the heritage of our hearts runs deeper than the sin we've inherited. It's deeper than the lust that we have to deal with each day and with power and struggle. The heritage of our hearts runs deeper. And I feel like that's the springs of joy that we can tap into by prayer and by grace.
Amen. That's a great quote to go on. Bill, thank you so much for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I invite them to go to tobinstitute.org. That's tobinstitute.org to learn about the courses and other offerings provided by the Theology of the Body Institute. And listeners, we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. We're talking about reclaiming joy today on More to Life. What's stealing your joy? We want to help you find grace-filled ways to lead a more joyful life at 877-573-7825. Give us a call. We'll continue the conversation with you on the other side of this break. Stick around.
Teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that he is the bread of life, and that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down his teaching and call them back. No, he allows them to leave, and even questions his 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
In the midst of our culture today, in this age of relativism, which wants to grant Jesus some significance, but not so much, so we'll give him wise man, great leader, inspiring preacher, great teacher, prophet. You don't get that option when you claim to be God. What reasons do we have to believe that he is who he said he is? And it's important, again, to employ the use of our reason and to understand that faith is not blind. My faith, and please God, the faith of everyone here, is not blind. It rests on something. Rests on a number of things, not least of which is my own experience of God, but it also has something substantial which can be claimed through history. We're not talking about a galaxy long, long ago, far, far away when we talk about Jesus. We're talking about a precise moment in history which has been testified to by countless testimonies, and you and I have access to them.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Did you know that research shows that married couples who find time to connect in meaningful ways tend to be happier and more resilient? It's not just about going out for a date now and then. It's about connecting in simple, ordinary ways on a daily and weekly basis. It's about finding ways to work, play, talk, and pray together instead of individually. For example, when couples choose to make a meal or clean up the kitchen together, that experience can nurture a sense of teamwork and collaboration that spills over into other areas of their relationship. couples can connect by regularly doing something fun together, too. It doesn't need to be big. It might be as simple as reading a book together or taking an interest in one another's hobbies. As small as these rituals of connection might seem, over time, they create a deep, solid foundation for any marriage. They create the time couples need to share experiences, relate on a deeper level, and build a shared life together. Get more tips for building a strong marriage in the book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. And if you would like to find faithful help with your relationship, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled Reclaiming Joy. We talk about all the things that tend to steal our joy, those big problems, those attacks of multiple little problems, the people who are hard to be joyful around, and the people we'd like to help be a little more joyful, too. Let's talk about all the ways to increase joy in your heart and the hearts of those you love. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next call, we want to send out congratulations to two longtime EWTN radio partners, KPIA. 102.5 FM, serving Huntsville, Texas, is celebrating 22 years with EWTN. And Two Hearts Communications, with seven signals, serving Washington State and Oregon, marks 24 years with us.
Congratulations to Raymond Scheel at Huntsville Catholic Radio, and Rod and Kimberly Fazzari, and their team at Two Hearts Communications, from all of us here at EWTN. And folks, wherever you are tuning into your local EWTN Catholic radio station, make sure you are supporting that station with your prayers, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep Catholic radio going strong for decades to come, so that we can keep supporting you in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. And thanks again to Raymond Scheel and Rod and Kimberly Fazzari and all the folks who are responsible for getting Catholic radio on the air, and all the listeners who keep EWTN radio on the air with your support. With that, let's go to the phones. Lisa, who's on deck?
Let's talk now with Kristen, who's listening to EWTN radio in Massachusetts.
Kristen, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you so much. I'm a new Catholic. I just got confirmed this year, and my family is a family of addicts. My dad and my brother are both addicted. And I just moved back home. I lived in Providence and got confirmed and everything out there. And I just moved back home about a month or two ago. But yes, a couple days ago, my dad had a psychosis ended up in the hospital, and like somebody like that doesn't really take advice from anybody around him.
No, of course not.
So he's kind of stealing my joy in this.
Yeah.
Sorry.
How old are you, Kristen?
21.
Okay.
And why did you end up moving back? Because this is a very serious situation to move back into.
I got a recommendation from like a previous boyfriend of mine, because I wasn't really doing what I needed to be doing in Providence.
Can you tell us a little bit by what you mean? Like, what you mean by not doing
like
what
I
you needed
just,
to be doing?
I was falling into like a secular world at my work and the people around me, and I was drinking and.
Okay.
Like not
so you, I got you. So how can we help you today? Because there's a lot going on, and I want to make sure that whatever we offer you here really helps you identify kind of the next step in front of you. So what can we do to be most helpful to you today?
So I'm at a point of despair almost, because I don't my job isn't that great. Nothing in my life since moving back here is that great, except for my Catholic community. And I'm like almost at a point of just like trying to see if I can go to the military or like do something that, because I don't have, my savings are all gone since moving back. And so I'm, I guess, like how to make sure that the joy isn't taken through these.
Okay. Like, and you said that everything's kind of rough except your Catholic community. Tell me about that. What are the relationships like in this community that you're part of?
I just moved back here 2 months ago, but I have, there's this young adult group, and they're so awesome, and I'm so blessed, and it's something that I've been, like, looking for that I mm-hmm. couldn't find in Providence or really anywhere else.
Okay.
And they just, they're so welcoming and inviting, and there's always something to do.
How often are you able to get together with them?
We meet once a week, but sometimes they do other things, like Fidelis.
Okay.
And
good. So you've got a lot of activities associated with them.
Okay, and do you get a chance to talk to them outside of the actual meeting? Do you see any of them? Because what I'd like to know is if you could feel comfortable enough to say to any of them, hey, I moved back here from Providence. I really wanted this community. I wanted to go deeper into my faith, and I am, and it's wonderful. But life where I'm living is a little rough, and I'm trying to look for somebody who maybe, you know, is looking for a roommate, who has an extra room so I can get on my feet. I'm looking for a better job, kind of using that as a network to see if anybody would know something that would put you in the right direction before you take a huge leap, like going into the military, which is a wonderful calling if it's your calling.
Okay. I think that community is somebody that I could talk to about that.
Good. All right. Go ahead.
I just feel like most of the people are at school. Like, everybody went away like mm-hmm. last week. So everybody that is an adult that's not living at home, they are in like their college dorms.
Okay. Well, look, again, it might not be an immediate thing. You know, if you put the call out there and say, "Hey, I'm really looking for a place where I can feel safe and get my feet underneath me." Do you know of anybody who might be looking for a roommate? Because Kristen, the thing is, you know, going back to what we talked about throughout the show, this idea of needing to pursue meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue when we're facing problems, if we want to be able to hold on to joy. You know, living where you're living, there's no intimacy because it's unhealthy and it's unsafe. And in fact, you mentioned to the screener that you don't feel like personally in danger per se, but you don't feel emotionally and spiritually safe in your home.
And you know that if your dad has another psychotic episode, you could be physically unsafe as well.
And so that's where the intimacy piece comes in, where we reach out to the people around us and we say, look, this is what I'm going through. I need your prayers. But if you have any suggestions about where I could go, and you know, where I could stay while I'm getting my feet back underneath me here. And also, you know, same thing with the network, putting out that in your network, I'm looking for a job that would be more meaningful to me, you know, that would let me use my gifts and talents in a way that allows me to feel like I'm making a difference, you know. And really continuing to put that out there to everybody who'll listen. A lot of times we want to isolate. We don't want to make it all about us. We don't want to burden other people with our problems. We don't want to talk about this stuff. But that's how the enemy really separates us from the herd, so to speak, and gets us to a place where we feel isolated and lonely and cut off. You know, in terms of meaningfulness, I want you to be looking for little ways that you can make a positive difference in the lives of those around you, little ways that you can use the gifts and talents that you have to respond in positive ways to the challenges that you're facing, instead of doing what a lot of us do, try to avoid things, maybe doom scrolling, you know, hiding out, taking naps instead of applying ourselves to the stuff that needs to be done, you know, getting the resume together, putting out those notices to people that you care about that, hey, I'm really looking for this job or that. And then virtue, asking yourself, instead of just feeling bad about your circumstances, and let's face it, I mean, there are things that we might feel bad about in your situation, and it's easy to let yourself go to that more self-pitying place, but instead we want to cling and cultivate virtue, where we're saying, okay, yeah, this stinks, I can't, you know, there's no way to dress this up, but how can I respond to this in a way that would make me feel proud of who I am, proud of who I did or what I said? Because the more I'm able to respond to the challenges in front of me in a way that helped me feel like I'm becoming more the person God created me to be, the more I can experience a sense of joy even in hardship, because I can see that God's alive and working in me, and God is using me to make a difference, and he's working with me and through me and in me. And I can feel good about that, even though I'm going through a difficult time. Kristen, I wish I could flip a switch and just make all this stuff go away. But I know that with the resources that you've got, with the grace that God is giving you, and with some of the things that you shared with us here on the air, that you've got some building blocks for creating a more joyful situation for yourself and cultivating more joy in your heart. If you lean into those three virtues of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, I know that you'll be able to start experiencing more of that joy. But by all means, do especially what Lisa was talking about and reach out to the people in your parish community, your Catholic community, and let them know, you know, what you need help with, what you need prayer for, and any practical insights they might offer. I'm also going to encourage you to go to find a good ACOA group in your area. That's an Adult Children of Alcoholics group. And that's a support group for folks who have loved ones who are struggling with addictions. I want you to get that support so that you don't start repeating those patterns like you were doing in Rhode Island that you were just describing when you said you were drinking a little bit too much there, or so that you can set the healthy boundaries that you need to set with the family that you're either going to be living with or having to deal with even for a while. The more that healthy support you can get to really understand, how can I set up those mental and spiritual boundaries that protect me from the negative influences in my family, the better off you're going to be. So those, I want you to reach out to those two resources, your Catholic community, and find a good ACOA group in your area that you can meet with regularly to talk more about those kinds of things. Kristen, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or through CatholicCounselors.com. And we're taking your calls, listeners, right now on our show titled Reclaiming Joy. And let's face it, we'd all like to be more joyful, but it ain't easy, especially when we look at that whole long list of problems that are just piled up waiting for us to handle them, or those people who are just really good at sucking all the joy out of our lives. We've all experienced that. Maybe you're experiencing it now. Let us help you reclaim your joy today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from John chapter 15, verses 10 through 11.
If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
You know, when we hear this verse and we hear Jesus saying, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, we feel like what Jesus is saying is, you know, you need to do what I say or I won't love you. That is not at all what he's saying. What he's saying is, I have a plan for your life. And the commandments that I give you are like a light to your path. And if you keep coming back to me and saying, okay, Lord, what do I do about this thing that's in front of me? Okay, now what do I do about this next thing that's in front of me? Okay, Lord, what do I do about this next thing that's in front of me? And so on and so forth. God will lead us step by step by giving us the counsel that we need to remain in his love and experience the joy that comes from knowing that he is working with us and in us and through us.
And of course, if that first part of this verse just jumps out at you and you say, I must not be in God's love because there are commandments I haven't kept. This is the same God of divine mercy that gives us the sacrament of reconciliation. Go to any church that is offering reconciliation and just experience the grace that comes with that forgiveness and that infusion of the Holy Spirit that will help you do better so that you can remain in his love and have his joy to the full.
And we're taking your calls right now about reclaiming joy. Is there something or someone stealing your joy? Let us help you find grace-filled ways to overcome those obstacles to joy in your life. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls about reclaiming joy. Coming back after the break.
Concentration camp survivor Elie Wiesel once said, "To forget murder victims is to kill them twice." 65 million unborn children have been killed by abortion. A small fraction of these victims are buried in human cemeteries. Let us honor them at the graves and memorial markers Saturday, September 13th, the National Day of Remembrance. See all locations and times at nationaldayofremembrance.org. That's nationaldayofremembrance.org.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today our show is titled Reclaiming Joy, as we talk about overcoming those various things and even people who are good at stealing our joy. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jenna, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Oklahoma.
Jenna, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hey, I listen to you guys all the time, and I love your show.
Thank you so much.
Very much. I do have a question. I am number eight in my family, and my sister is number two, and okay. So she's just turned 79, and she's 19 years older than I, and she is just negative. I mean, you can't hardly hold a conversation, and her kids have the same problem, and she broke her foot, and they hired somebody to, you know, help her at home, and she, and every sin, she ends up firing, and they're not doing the job right. So I just have a question of, we kind of don't talk to her very much just because it's so depressing, and you try to change it to positivity, and she goes right back to the negativity.
Yeah.
And has she always been this way, or is this just coming in the later years of her life, especially when she's suffering with things?
Yeah, she was in a elected position for 20 years and you know, kind of well-known. And it's like once she lost that, it's like she's just, but she's okay. Always kind of been that way. I'll just tell you, I think she's always been that way. So okay. My niece is closer to we're like sisters instead of aunt and niece, because I was the number eight.
So far and behind, so, yeah.
So we're just a few years apart.
So is your question, how do you deal with her as a negative person, or what specifically? Okay, well... So here's I guess the best way, and this goes for you or anybody else who is dealing with a negative person. You want to avoid the trap of cheerleading for them, because that kind of buys into the problem, right? It actually rewards the problem. If I'm being negative, right, and Lisa comes up with, oh, Greg, you know, come on, you got to look at it this way, and have you thought about it that way? What I hear in my head, and what anybody hears in their head, is she just doesn't get it. Clearly, she doesn't understand. And so I double down on my negativity as a way of kind of convincing her to see how serious the problem really is. The other part of this, though, when you're talking about somebody who has a kind of a lifetime of negativity, the way I put it is that negativity becomes their love language. And what I mean by that is that what happens when somebody's negative? It tends to pull people around to take care of you, right? It's an unconscious way of eliciting care and support from other people. Now, eventually it wears people out, and if I become habitually addicted to negativity, it'll chase people away. But at least in the early stages, it pulls people in because they want to try to make me feel better. And so I kind of cling to that as a way of addressing the powerlessness I feel. You say that this really, she's always been this way, but it's really gotten much worse since she lost her elected position. She understandably feels powerless. She feels kind of cut off from the ways that she used to pursue meaning in her life. But the way she's responding to it, of course, is driving the people that love her away. So what I would suggest to you in dealing with her or dealing with any negative person in your life, it's kind of a two-step approach. The first step is empathy. The second step is redirect. So you want to empathize with the emotions, then redirect toward solutions. I am so sorry you feel that way. You seem so frustrated and so upset. What do you think you'd like to do about this? What do you think is one small step you can take to try to make this a little bit better? Now, initially, she said, I don't know, there's nothing I can do. But if you get in the regular habit of talking to a negative person in this way and just keep rotating between those two things, empathize, then redirect. First, the empathy will help them see, oh, wait, she really does get this. Then the redirection starts to engage their thinking brain, because right now she's entirely in her feeling brain. Maybe I do need to do something about it, or maybe there are things I could do. Resist the temptation to cheerlead or suggest solutions. Because that's the other thing, if you fall into the trap of suggesting solutions, all they have to do is bat them out of the air to keep you hooked. And that's what it's about, right? It's like, well, what if you brought somebody in, or what if you hired somebody to take care of this, or what if you, oh, I can't do that because of this and the other thing and the other. And then what does that do? That causes you to be working harder on their problem than they are, which makes them feel comforted and cared for. It's not a healthy way to comfort or care for somebody, but that's the trap, all right? So by resisting cheerleading and making too many suggestions and instead focusing on empathizing with the emotion, but then redirecting her to think of her own solutions, those are the two best ways that you can interact with somebody who is in a negative space. They're not easy to deal with, but if you just kind of keep recycling those two steps over and over again, you'll help most people get out of that negative mindset. But I want to thank you for the call, and if there is more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here or through CatholicCounselors.com. With that, let's go to Maria, who's listening in Dallas, who had a comment for a previous caller based on her own experience. Maria, welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Good morning. Yes, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to mention to the young lady, I'm a daughter of an alcoholic, and my mother had real bad codependency. Then I married an alcoholic, and I didn't know what my life was like. But I know what she's going through. But praise God that I was put into my life a lot of little angels or big angels, but God was able to help me. I got close to God. But still, I had that embarrassment. I had that guilt and all that stuff until I started going to counseling. And counseling showed me, as you mentioned to her, you know, we need to get that help from people around us. But as an alcoholic child, I remember that we didn't want to ask people for help because we're embarrassed or, you know, so she needs to, you know, well, I'm not a counselor, but I, from my experiences, that I had to drop that. And the way I was able to see through that was a priest told me one time that if I don't let people help me, then I'm harming them because they're not able to help and use that as what God has given them to do.
Yeah, no, that's really powerful, Maria, and I want to thank you for that encouragement. You're absolutely right. When we grow up in an alcoholic household, one of the things that we tend to learn unconsciously is to keep secrets, to not let people know what's going on because of the shame and the embarrassment.
And also the knowledge that we might have to change.
But when we reach out to others, that's how we begin to get the support to really grow and change. And, you know, that priest is correct. You know, we talk a lot about the theology of the body on this show. And one of the things that the theology of the body mentions is that there are two ways to be generous. The first way to be generous is by giving to others, right? But the second way to be generous is to receive from others. Now, let me explain why. So St. John Paul said that when we give to others, of course, we're using our gifts to make a positive difference, and that's a good thing. But when we receive from others, we give others the opportunity to take care of us, which then makes them feel good too, right? Because when we can make a difference by using our gifts to bless somebody else, we feel good about that. We feel happy that we were able to make a difference. That's their gift that they give to us for when they receive our help. Well, we give that same gift to others when we accept their help. And when we're in healthy relationships that are mutually self-giving, where all the people in the relationship are both giving and receiving generously from each other, that creates a real deep intimacy because we see that we're growing because of each other and we are thankful for the influence that we have in each other's lives, just as you are thankful for the people that you reached out to that have helped you on your recovery journey. And I want to thank you, Maria, for calling in to encourage our previous caller in reaching out to her friends and building greater fellowship, especially in the Catholic community and in the ACOA group that she's part of. And I want to thank you for your witness, for using those struggles to make a positive difference in the lives of our listeners, another way of living out that meaningfulness that we've been talking about throughout the program. And folks, if you are looking to reclaim your joy or overcome the obstacles getting in the way of joy, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Let us help you find faith-filled ways to lead a more joyful life.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.